Today I want to talk to you about, I want to encourage you to live holy lives. That's what I want to talk about. It's what I feel has been on my heart for a while, and that's what I'm going to say to you. Holy lives, pleasing lives, lives that are set apart, lives that reflect our Lord Jesus Christ in all at all times, and all your decisions, that show on the outside the great work that He has done on the inside of all of us. It's no secret that we're living in a time where evil is being called good and good is being called evil. It's a time of outright flagrant evilness and sin. It's also, we're living in a time of confusion, I think, where we see these mixtures in our society of naming the name of Christ, even speaking at times Christ's words, but then also at the same time or shortly after, speaking like the world, living like the world, having the values of the world. And we are constantly being bombarded with that. Our values are being constantly attacked by the world. It's not a new thing, but I think most of you, and some of you are older, would say that it's at a proportion that's maybe higher than any time that you've lived so far in your life. When I think about what the world's God is, I think it's self. The world's God is self. I mean, that's really what the whole problem was with Satan and the temptation in the beginning. It was, did God really say, don't you want this knowledge for yourself, or yourself? And I see that over and over. The values of today's world are based on what makes self feel good, what makes self happy, what gratifies self. And that's constantly what people are obsessed with, is self, self. And in doing that, then we are given, our world is given over to the things like lust, greed, and sensuality. Just everything about how I feel and what feels good to me, my senses, pleasure. If we dare not accept that, then in our world today, we're accused of, well, first of all, we're very unpopular. And then we've got the catchphrase now that hits all Christians, don't judge me. You're judging. If you speak out at all, you hear that word a lot. If you are striving to live for holiness, you're given labels like legalistic or self-righteous or extreme. And we're in a tough spot. Tolerance is also another catchphrase that's being taught in a new way. It's been taught for several generations to our children, and tolerance does not mean what the word once meant. It really means more of accept and agree today is what our children are even being taught in a lot of places, and we are too if we're not careful about the difference in those two things. Have you noticed that the only population that the world doesn't want to receive tolerance is Christians? Very little tolerance for Christianity.
Sure.
God is not surprised by any of this. He told us in His Word that a time would come when people would call good evil and call evil good. And it may get worse, but we're living in it already. It's to a point where even churches are being pressured not to really preach sin, about sin, name specific sin, because attendance would drop, people would be offended, and they would leave the church or not choose that church. And so to get them to come back, then under the guise of being loving, we don't sometimes feel like we should speak the truth. But true love is to tell people the truth of God's word. That's real love, so that they can find God and be found by Him. And be changed by Him. So, all of us in the battle. And if you're trying to live for Christ, you're in a battle, a daily battle. I wanted to offer some encouragement about living a holy life. I wanted to offer a few warnings And then I want to talk about the great rewards and the great blessings of living a holy life. Because, you know, with knowing God and serving Him, it's not all about the don't do's. It's about what He has given us to enjoy as His children, which far outweighs the other things. For our main passage today, would you turn to Hebrews 13? This is a passage that caught my eye a few years ago, and it's still been something I can keep going back to and trying to understand more of what God was meaning for us to understand. Hebrews 13 is the chapter, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. Our pastors preached through Hebrews, the full book of it. One of my favorite things about Hebrews is the great connection it makes between the Old Testament and the sacrificial system that was in place, and how Jesus fulfilled that, and how what we have in Christ because of what Jesus has done. And in this passage, it's along those lines of referring to what happened in the past in the old system, and now what we have in Jesus Christ. So the first thing I want to tell you is that when we talk about holiness, being holy, first thing is Jesus makes us holy. It is His work. It is His blood. We could be as good as we possibly knew to try to be for all of our lives and never be holy. Only Jesus Christ can make us holy. Holy, I like to think of the word purity, because to me, holiness is deeper than obedience. Sometimes I obey on the outside and do the thing that I should do, or do not do the thing I should not do. And to me, that's the word obedience. But holiness, the purity of holiness, means that not only do I do it on the outside, but I am right on the inside. I am pure about what I am doing. And again, only Jesus Christ can do that. He is the origin for us to have holiness. So let's read, starting verse 11. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through His own blood. Let us then go to Him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace He bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. And so in verse 12, it says Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through His blood. All of those years of sacrificing animals could never make it permanent. It never really made man holy. Only what Jesus did. It is His work. Only Jesus. So no matter what else you hear me say later about your part in holiness, I want to be clear that only Jesus Christ makes us holy. There's one other place, and we're not, this is not our main passage, but I'll just read it for you. You won't have to turn there. Hebrews 10:5 and through 10, and I'm just going to read 10, says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. And there are many other places in scriptures you could read that Jesus is the one who makes us holy. I want us to let that sink in today. I want to tell you some things. We know that Jesus paid a terrible price for us. And we really sometimes relate more to His physical suffering. But if we could think for a few minutes about the spiritual suffering that He went through to make us holy, I think that it would make you appreciate, and that's it to me. The more I know Jesus, the more I love Him, the more I appreciate what He has done for me, who He is in me. You know, all your sin and mine, all of your selfishness, everything you've ever done or thought about, the hatefulness, all of that, you know that was placed on Jesus. It was imputed to Him. It was given to, it became His. He became holy, spotless lamb became defiled at that moment. That's hard for me to want to say that. But that's what God was willing to do. He was willing to have all of the sin put on Jesus, making him cursed, making him defiled, making him unholy at that time. The perfect one who had never sinned was made sin for us. And for that reason, he had to suffer outside of him. Because what they understood in the Old Testament law was that anything that was done outside of him represented things that were unholy. On the Day of Atonement, once the high priest took the two goats, one of them being the scapegoat, the other being the sin offering, and took the bull for him, his own sins, the blood that was shed was put in the holy place. It was sprinkled in the tabernacle. Certain parts of the animal would be burned on the altar, but the skin and other parts that were considered to have sin on them were so defiled that they had to be taken outside civilization, outside the camp, to be burned. Jesus suffered for you and I outside the camp because he took all your unholiness upon himself. He was considered at that time by the people worthless, defiled, cursed, just like the lepers who had to live outside of the camp. So what an amazing thing he did for us. What a beautiful thing he did for us. It's hard for me to say those words and to think about my Lord being in such a position. But he did that to do the miracle that he was doing for you and for me. The second thing I want you to know is that all through Jesus makes us holy. We make daily choices to live in holiness. We still make daily choices to live out the holiness that he has given to us. In the passage, the next thing that it says, after it says that Jesus suffered outside the city gate, which there's a lot more I could say about outside the city gate, but maybe you can continue to let the Lord help you to see the significance in him being crucified outside. It says that let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. It's nothing new for God to call his people to be outside the camp, outside the city or the civilization, or in our case we'd say outside the world and the worldly values. The nation of Israel was becoming a nation, and he called them out. He told them, that you are not to be like the people of Egypt that you left from. And he said, you're not to do the things that the people in Canaan are doing that you're going to meet. You'll be my people. You'll be different. You'll be called by my name. You'll live the way I tell you to live. And, of course, the whole book of Leviticus is filled with all the daily and constant things that they had to do. He taught them so much through tiny day-to-day things that they had to do, what they could mix together and what they couldn't mix together, just things that we look at and we say, I don't understand why this would be important to God. Well, I can't say I have all that figured out, but I understand that it would be a daily, God would have to be on your mind 24/7 to live under the Levitical law, because it was so detailed, so very detailed. So they understood about being set apart. At the time this was written, the New Testament believers were starting to have to set themselves apart from Judaism. He was telling them, you're going to have to go outside the camp of that. That's not where I am. They're still worshiping that law, and now I've come to set you free and give you true life, true grace through me, through my blood. So you're going to have to leave the camp of that. And he's telling you and me today, you're not supposed to fit here. If you're starting to fit, there's a problem. Red flag.
Yep.
You're never supposed to fit. You are supposed to be set apart. You are supposed to be different. You are aliens here. This is not your home. And so we have to constantly try to keep that on our mind about living and thinking about looking to Jesus, even though it's been done, we still have to go outside of Him every day of our lives. You know, as I talk about holiness today, what I hope you don't do is sit and think about all the ways in your life that you feel like you're already living, making choices. I want you to go to the next spot. I want you to say, Lord, what is it that I am accepting into my life that is unholy? What are the choices that you want to see me make different? You know, it's never to sit in church and think about, oh, you know, I'm doing that, I'm not that. And so I really, you know, I have a lot of personal specific things that I feel like saying, but if I name those things, I think that we start to go, I don't do that. I want you to let the Lord point into your life the places that are unholy in your day-to-day choices and let Him convict you and bring you out of that. That's what I'm trying to do. We've never even been called to fit in with religion. God commands us to be separate. And this is this whole idea is really fundamental to Christianity, but it seems like over time it's being lost, that we are just starting to blend, okay? And I'm encouraging you by the Word of God, not by what I think, that God says, be different, come out from among them, be separate in your choices. And, of course, when it says bearing the disgrace that Jesus bore, when you live like that, there's going to be results. There's going to be consequences. Jesus was hated. You might be hated. You will be left out of things. You will be not the most popular person to hang out with from the world. Sometimes accused or misunderstood. Just get ready for that. And some of this may seem very obvious, but sometimes I think we're losing some of the things because we assume that the next generation is going to carry on in some of these things, and we need to say them.
That's right.
We need to say out loud and not assume. I've learned that from being in the classroom, again, with high schoolers, that I would say some basic things that I thought everyone probably agreed on this as being right or wrong, and they did not. So a lot today may be for parents as you're thinking about speaking to your children. I told Jody last night, we're talking about something, so I feel like doing the cheer sometimes. Hold that line. I'm telling you to hold the line of what Christ, this is the line.
Yes.
Not just being good, but of a life of holiness. Say it to your children. Don't allow things that are undermining what the scriptures are saying. I'm going to come back to that law of mixtures in just a little while. I want you to go to one other main passage today. 2 Corinthians 6. Would you turn there? Second Corinthians 6, we're going to start in verse 14. A really strong word here. 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. That starts off by talking about being in a yoke. You know that a yoke would be something that they would plow with, and it has the two places for the animal's heads to pull the plow. And it was one of the Levitical laws about mixing that you would not put a weak animal with a strong animal to plow. For example, you didn't plow an ox and a donkey together because they couldn't pull the same. And I don't know a lot about plowing. Mom or Dad could probably tell us about that, but it just wasn't productive. I guess the plow didn't go straight or something, but God said don't do it. So here in the New Testament, he used that illustration to tell us that it doesn't work for you to be in an intimate relationship with people who are unbelievers. They should not be your closest relationship friends because you're pulling two different ways. That's what his word says. That was about, again, the law of mixtures. You're not supposed to be in a yoke with the world. The world is not going where you're going. They're not going to pull like you're pulling. And we can't think that God's going to share us in that yoke. That's the thing. You know, he's not pleased with that. We can't be living over here in the world and then think we're living over here with God and that we have both of that at the same time. He won't share you like that.
That's right. He won't.
He won't. Okay? You can name his name, but you won't be in an intimate relationship with him when you're living like that. Again, he made you holy in the first place. You're not earning holiness. Don't hear me saying that. But the holiness that he moved and created, imputed to you, inside of you, you live it out every day of your life. I have to live it out every day of my life. You know, his word doesn't change. And throughout Old Testament and New Testament, he said, be holy. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy. He didn't let up and say, when it gets harder, he said, be holy. And I was teaching the other night to the children, and this verse just really helped, I think, me. I don't know if it helped them. But it was in Philippians 2 where it says we have to work out what God has worked in us. The work that he did in us is perfect and pure. And like that song says together today when we were singing it, he's a good, good father, and I'm loved by him. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not my deeds. I am what he's done in me. But those deeds need to work out of me. They need to come out of the heart and the life that's been changed as a grateful, grateful child. There's nothing worse than a spoiled child, is it? You ever dealt with a spoiled child? That you couldn't give them enough, couldn't buy them enough, you couldn't do enough before you got through with the one thing that you could sacrifice for, they were asking for the next thing? Those are hard children to deal with. Sometimes we could be like that with our Father, that we just don't realize what we have in him and what he's done. So we've got to work out what God has worked in. And the last thing is holiness. Did I read the passage? Yes, I read the passage. Holiness, last thing, holiness has glorious rewards and blessings. Again, it's not a drudgery. It is, there are great promises, and I want you to look in the same passage in 2 Corinthians at verse 16. I love this verse. It says, when you come out and you're not yoked to the world, well, here's what God says his part is. I will live with them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. When I think about God walking among us, I get really happy.
Yeah.
Really, really happy to think about God walking among us. I mean, that just gives me a picture that is something I can relate to, of him physically moving among his people. And I just really love that. And verse 18 says, I'll be a father to them, and they'll be my sons and my daughters. And those are promises that we have from the Lord. that you can't just claim the promises without working out what He's worked in you. It's not a works-based salvation, but once the salvation has happened, there should be works happening in our lives, striving to perfect holiness in our lives. Let me tell you some other great blessings of living a life of holiness. John 15:7 says that we're going to have prayers answered. That's what it says. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll be able to ask what you wish and I will do it. I mean, isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? John 15:11 says you're going to have joy. It says remain in me so your joy will be complete. John 14:21 says we're going to have His presence, which we've already seen about Him walking among us. But it says, whoever keeps my commands, the Father will love him and I will love, and I will show myself to him. I'll show myself to him. Yes, I want that. Holiness is not to have a good reputation, or even just to avoid problems. You know, the world sometimes says that. It's the motivation for holiness. It's when God moved from the Old Testament law to Jesus Christ, He said, I'm going to write it on your heart. It's going to be inside of you. You're going to want to do these things, not because you have to, because I'm your Father. And my law is going to be in your heart. And you're going to want to do these things. And it's a different place of motivation. It's not the taskmaster. It's not the scorekeeper. It's the God inside of you loving you and saying, you can do this. I want you to do this. This is who I am. This is what I've done in you. Strive for holiness. The final good news is back in the chapter we started in, back in Hebrews 13, where we started. I say that end of that passage that I love so much for the last. For here, it's 13, verse 14, for here we do not have an enduring city. Again, your eternal happiness is not going to be in this life. If you're still trying to figure out, I'm just not happy. Well, okay. Bible never said you would be. Okay. Joy is a different measure. This is just not the person you're just not the person I thought you were going to be. Okay. I'm just not fulfilled. Press on in the Lord. Just press on in the Lord. Because your city is to come. My city is to come. Here we do not have an enduring city, that we are looking for the city that is to come. We are looking. We have the most awesome reward to look forward to. And you know it, but you need to think about it more. I found myself needing to think about it more. We have a city waiting on us where we will not be aliens. Nope. A city where we will be with Jesus all the time. All the time. We will never battle this sin nature anymore. Yay, I'm leaving it here. Lord. Yes. It's going to be a place of perfection. It's going to be a place of righteousness. It's going to be, sometimes we do think, and we hear people talk about, it's going to be a place of no disease. And it is. It is. Oh, it is. There will be no cancer in heaven. Right? There'll be no diabetes in heaven. None of those things. But also, you talk about there'll be no sin. You won't be a sinner anymore in heaven. You won't even have a sin nature in heaven. It's going to be perfect and holy and right. We have that to look forward to. All the things that are so hard here will be gone in the enduring city. Yeah, Jesus made us holy. Only Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other righteousness. Only Jesus. It was a great price. You need to let that price grip you. Once the gospel grips you like that, of what he's done for you, of who he is, of what he went through, your heart changes. You get a new heart put in you. You fall on your knees and you surrender and you ask to be redeemed and to be changed because of look what Jesus has done for me. He makes you holy. Number two, you have choices every day to live out a life of holiness. You're supposed to be living separate from this life. Separate. It's going to get harder. Parents, especially, it's going to get harder. Stand up and don't go with the world. You know, we could all probably say some examples, but it might make us sound self-righteous, but we've probably already made some choices that have cost us things. Amen.
Yeah.
Make some more. Yeah. Make some more. Because God won't share us. It doesn't work that way. We're not shared. We can't be in the yoke with the world. Number three, holiness has glorious rewards. A home in heaven, yes. And things here. God walking among us. God answering our prayers. God giving us joy. Those are for the here and the now. I hope you don't hear me preaching a works-based salvation because that's not what I'm preaching or teaching. But I also think that we have to be careful not to get into a hyper-grace where we really are not showing the Lord the honor, the love that he deserves. And so we have to continue to look at holiness. I mean, it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. The powerful holiness is inside of us. It's Jesus Christ. The power of God is inside of us. So I just want to encourage you in that, is to look at the things that are... You know, what I find about my life is this. I have to ask God often, examine me and show me, let me see me the way you see me. Because see, I think I'm doing pretty good. You know, I mean, if I saw something just terrible, I'd be like, well, yeah, I'll fix that. But see, I'm living and I'm going about my day to day and the world is rubbing me and rubbing me and telling me and teaching me and showing me, you know, all the time. And so when I say, Lord, show me the way you see me, then thank goodness he convicts. And he says, here. And he says, you did the right thing here, but your heart was wrong. That's where the heart is. You did the right outside action, but your heart is not right on that matter. Let him work like that in me. Let him work like that in you. Let him look around in your life and show you. Because, first of all, he deserves it. He deserves children who are not spoiled, who are living for him. And he has things that he wants to tell you and to do in your life that you're not getting because you're not with him. So I just want to encourage you in that. You can't go back and undo things that you've done years ago. No. But whatever is going, wherever you are right now, today, let the Lord help you to make a daily choice from this point on forward. And it could change some things, you know, at your house and in your day-to-day life. Let's pray. Lord God, we just love you and praise you for giving us your holiness, Lord, for putting that on us, for taking all of the ugliness of us, putting it all on your body, and paying for it with your blood. I thank you that you went outside the camp for me. I thank you that you suffered spiritually and physically. Lord, help me to be strong to go outside the camp to you and bear the disgrace that you bore. God, help me to be strong to stand up for your word in love. Lord, help me to teach my children. Help me to have great discernment. And I'm praying this for everyone. Help us to have discernment. Help us to see the things that we've accepted, Lord, and to turn away from those things, to shut them out of our houses and our minds and our homes. Lord, thank you for the rewards and the blessings of being your child, of being in a relationship with you. There is truly nothing that compares to time in your presence, to knowing that you're there, that you're walking among us, that you're listening, that you're filling us up, Lord, with courage and joy and peace and everything, Lord, that we need is all found in you. It will never be found anywhere else. So would you just please use the simple things that you let me share today in a great measure in every person in the room today and in our lives. We love you and praise you, Jesus. Amen.